This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. Many of you have sent us questions about tough scenarios where there's not always a clear right answer. And tonight we have two experts to help sort through those situations. Dr. Helen Boucher is Chief of Infectious Diseases at Tufts Medical Center in Boston, and Emily Oster is a professor of economics at Brown University. She's also co-founder of ExplainCOVID.org. Great to have you both back with us again.
Thanks, Ari.
Thanks so much.
Let's dive in with a question from Luz in Minneapolis.
I'm a residential house cleaner that has been furloughed, but the company that I work for is planning to reopen June 15th. I'm honestly concerned about returning to this kind of work, given that our state has only freshly reopened and also the circumstances of my work. Is it safe for me to return to work? What precautions can I take if I decide to return? I can't be the only one in this precarious situation. Any advice you have is welcome. Thank you.
She's certainly not the only one in this situation, and I'm sure lots of people are eager to hear your thoughts. Professor Oster, what can you tell Luz?
Yeah, so I would say sort of two things. First, I think there are precautions you can take. So particularly, I would say that your employer should be providing you with masks, with gloves, that you should be careful to take off the gloves correctly. There should be training in how to wear a mask safely. And I think that Luz should also think a little bit about her own risk. You know, we don't know enough here about how old she is, or we have other pre-existing conditions. So that's a little bit what I would think about for yourself, while at the same time really pushing your employer to make sure that they're giving you all the protection that you can possibly have.
All right. Our next question comes from Lisa, who's a hairstylist in Austin, Texas.
I'm lucky enough to have a private salon suite where I can control the environment. I can clean and sanitize all the surfaces. I can mandate masks for myself and my client. I have a HEPA air filter with UV light, and I wear a face shield when I shampoo someone's hair. My question is, if I am asymptomatic, do I need to take a COVID-19 test to ensure I don't pass it on to my clients? How often would I need to take this test?
It sounds like Lisa's being very thoughtful and responsible and trying to think through every possible scenario. Dr. Boucher, is she doing enough? What more would you suggest she do?
Well, Lisa, it sounds like you're doing a great job, and you've covered, you know, the key bases here on protecting yourself and your clients as well as you can. The hard thing about testing is that it only gives us a snapshot in time, and the incubation period of this virus is 2 weeks. So it's really difficult to know the value in an asymptomatic setting. So the CDC currently only recommends testing people when there are symptoms or when there's been an exposure. So if you become aware of an exposure or if something is going on in your region where there is an issue, you may be advised to have testing. But at this time, there's not really good guidance we can give you on how to use it. I think your focus on the measures that you can control and that you're focused on is excellent.
Okay. Our next question is a tough scenario. Comes from Patrick in Tucson, Arizona, who writes to tell us that his 75-year-old father offered to let a cousin stay in the spare bedroom for a while. The cousin will soon be released from prison. Now, given the high incidence of COVID-19 in prisons, Patrick wants to know what his father should consider before following through on this plan. I mean, on the one hand, of course, you want to be helpful to a relative who is just coming out of incarceration. On the other hand, you have an elderly relative and a place that is a known hotspot for COVID-19. Dr. Boucher, what advice do you have for Patrick and his father?
Well, this is a really difficult situation. And first and foremost, I think it's incredibly kind to want to do this. And ideally, you know, this individual coming out of a congregate setting like prison would have a 14-day quarantine. So if you decide to go ahead and do this, it's really important to keep to that separate bedroom and bath plan for people to wear a mask if there's going to be any contact, even limited contact in the house, to keep up with cleaning surfaces and doing everything you can to really limit the contact, and then to promptly go for testing if there are any symptoms, big or small.
Okay. Our next question comes from Scott in Richmond, Virginia, who's wondering about the safety of making some extra money.
We have an Airbnb in our basement that has a separate entrance from our home, and have a guest who has reserved the space for some time in July, wondering if it's safe to allow visitors into our Airbnb, and if so, what precautions we should be taking both before they come and after they leave.
Professor Oster, are there things Scott can do to make this booking safe for the guest and the host?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are. I think the main thing to remember is that the virus cannot live for that long on surfaces. So a few days would be kind of the outside. And so if you have the place cleaned and then nobody goes in for a few days, and then they visit and you don't personally interact with them, and then after they leave, you leave it for a few days before you clean it, I think that there is very, very, very limited chance of viral spread in that case.
That's reassuring. Dr. Boucher, is there anything you would add to that?
No, I think, you know, just the focus on wearing masks if there is going to be contact and keeping that 6-foot distance if you're going to have contact with the guests, you know, is very important as well.
Yeah. All right. Our next question comes from Bruce in San Francisco.
I am 59 years old. I am disabled and have many, many, many underlying health conditions. I depend on the help of someone who comes into my house every day. He also works with another family. And I'm just wondering, how do I measure the rock and the hard place that I'm stuck in here with the risk of him bringing coronavirus into my home and my need for his help to survive?
Wow, that sounds really difficult. A rock and a hard place sums it up. Dr. Boucher, what would you advise Bruce?
Well, Bruce, you know, I can certainly reassure you that you're not alone and that we have a number of patients like yourself who need help. And, you know, the risk of not getting the help likely outweighs the risk of your caregiver. And I think it's important to focus on the things that can be done. And so both you and your caregiver should wear masks as much as possible. Really good hand hygiene, frequent hand washing, very, very important. Keeping distance when you can, wiping down those surfaces, and then watching out for any symptoms in either you or the caregiver. He or she should not come to work if they feel at all unwell. And I think focusing on those things will provide the safest way forward for you to get the care that you need.
You know, Bruce mentioned that the caregiver also works with another family. I wonder if either of you, Dr. Boucher or Professor Oster, would advise Bruce getting in touch with that other family and finding out what their safety and risk level is.
Well, yeah, I certainly think that would make sense. You know, it's very different if that family is also isolating completely versus if they have, say, somebody who's out, you know, working in a grocery store or another essential worker. I think that would change the circumstances quite a lot.
Before we have to take a short pause, let me ask this question from Deborah in Duluth, who says, my mother is nearly 100 years old, lives alone, is in relatively good shape. My sister and nephew have sheltered for weeks and are clean so they can go help her with things. I've been working from home with the occasional trip to the grocery store or run into school. When and how will I be able to go into her house? Dr. Boucher, do you have any suggestions for Deborah?
Well, this is a really hard one. And I think, you know, the truth of the matter is that any of us who have to go to the grocery store and run errands are at some risk. And, you know, it's really weighing that risk to her mom, who's 100. And I think if you can do it with a distance, that's safer.
All right. We need to take a short pause, but stay with us. This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.